Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bulls Beat Podcast Show, the Chicago Bulls Podcast.
Welcome back to the Bulls Beat, Bulls fans. Doug Tonis here with you discussing our Chicago Bulls. And the NBA draft is over. Amazing night. One of my favorite nights of the year, every year, hosting the big draft party this year. Officially sponsored by the Chicago Bulls. Okay, officially might be a stretch, but Bulls Digital reached out, sent us a bunch of hats. Very nice of them. Thank you so much. I'm glad they have this new social media arm trying to reach out to some of the people in the community and try and send them some stuff and get involved. I think that's really great and really long overdue. It's a nice, nice step. So very appreciative to the Bulls for doing that. So now I'm officially bought off. Now everyone who has said you're on the Bulls take, now I'm on the take officially because I got this $35 hat. So that was amazing. As it so turns out, though, I didn't keep a hat. I gave them all away because I have so many hats from being a season ticket holder for a long time, and we ended up having so many people, I was a couple short, so I didn't actually keep that, so maybe my opinion is still good. You'll have to decide for yourself. Anyway, going into the NBA draft, it was just a great night. So draft is unfolding in a way. The first pick, pretty much very expected, DeAndre Ayton. Everyone knew that was coming. Marvin Bagley, at the time, a lot of people thought this might be up for debate, but I think by the time the draft hit, we were pretty sure the Kings were going to take Marvin Bagley, so still not a big shock. Then the first shock hits for the night. Trade up from Dallas to via Atlanta to move up and grab Luka Doncic. So interesting move by Cuban there. I think people listening to the podcast know I'm not a huge Doncic guy, so we'll see how that works out for them. Cuban, obviously having Dirk Nowitzki for his whole career, not so biased against Euros as I am, won a title with one as his key guy. He moves up for Doncic, must have loved him. And so Atlanta falls back to five. Memphis takes Jaren Jackson Jr., who is a guy I really liked and was hoping the Bulls could get, you know, way back in March before it was clear he was going to be unavailable and move up the boards. Then Atlanta takes Trae Young. Big cheers from the crowd there because I think we're all pretty excited that Trae Young isn't coming to the Chicago Bulls. And this isn't to say Trae Young isn't going to be great. He might be, but he was the type of guy, like, I don't know that I really want to swing for and hope that he works out. I know there's the Steph Curry comparisons. The dude's actually much smaller than Steph Curry, though, which is scary enough. I don't know. I could see how it could work. I would have never thought that prior to Steph Curry, but Steph Curry gives me some hope for Trae Young, but I'm glad that we're not the team taking that chance. I really am. I think he's one of those guys that'll be difficult to win with and maybe not a guy who's a great piece if he's not the focal point of what you're doing, because he'll probably have a tough time defensively. And then if he's not so great offensively, he could be really, really challenging to keep on your team. I think Trae Young is going to end up in one of those super scorer off the bench molds and not really your star player mode, which still be a good player to have, but I'm glad we're not taking a chance of them. A lot of boos then come up when the Orlando Magic take Mo Bamba at number six. A lot of Bulls fans are hoping to get Mo Bamba. I think my draft room was kind of split largely between people wanting Mo Bamba and people wanting Wendell Carter Jr. with a couple Michael Porter Jr. fans in there. But a lot of people really upset. Fred Pfeiffer and I gave each other a little bit of a high five. I'd have been okay with Mo Bamba, to be honest with you. I know Fred, C-Red Fred, super upset about Mo Bamba. At least hopefully now the rants will stop. I mean, they won't. He'll probably be obsessed with him and saying everything bad he does for the next year just to justify, you know, that pick. But enough on that. So then the Bulls are up at number seven, and basically, as a Bulls fan, you know this is coming down to Wendell Carter Jr. or Michael Porter Jr. Those two guys were linked heavily to the Bulls. I think it would have been interesting if Mo Bamba had fallen and they had taken Colin Sexton, which was some kind of brief rumor that Orlando might do that. If that had happened and the Bulls actually got to choose between the three different guys rumored to go to them, it would have been really exciting. Now we'll never really know who they liked most. But they take Wendell Carter Jr. That was no surprise at all for me. I was very, very happy with that pick. And we'll discuss that more in a little bit depth. I think the other interesting thing, Michael Porter Jr. falls all the way to 14. So those thinking Michael Porter was really the answer, I think when that many teams pass for medical reasons, I think you can feel okay that, you know what, the Bulls probably didn't make a mistake. And I'll say it again, I said in the show before, you can't count on a guy being healthy for 5 years. He's got to be healthy for a decade, because the worst scenario is that he's healthy for 4 years, signs a huge deal, you're ready to compete, and then he can't stay healthy after that, and now you just have this albatross. That's what happened with Derrick Rose, and the Bulls were screwed for like a half decade because of that. I don't want to go through that again. I'm content to pass on Michael Porter Jr. My daughter has had back surgery, obviously different than his, but I see like she's still not the same like 3 years later. And back surgery to me, I don't know anyone who's had back surgery that's like, well, yeah, that was a minor back surgery. And I think if you have to be an elite athlete, it's way worse. It's just way worse having to be an elite athlete and getting banged and beaten up and hit by guys who weigh 250 pounds of muscle who are like pure walls. Like, I just think that is just going to be too tough. I did not want Michael Porter Jr. If the Bulls took him, I'd be like, all right, they must feel really good about his back. And I'd have been okay with it, but I'm glad we dodged that bullet as well. So Wendell Carter Jr. now, to me, I think this guy is very underrated. They used a Carlos Boozer comparison on the air. So Wendell Carter Jr. to me is going to be Carlos Boozer if Boozer shot threes and played defense. You know, and he would have maybe the limitations of Carlos Boozer if he was a good defender, but just slow. But Carlos Boozer had no defensive, you know, awareness. It was terrible awareness-wise defensively. Carter Jr. is a very plus defender awareness-wise. He very much knows what he's doing, very fundamentally sound, very strong in all of those aspects. And that is why I give you the Al Horford comparison. To me, this is a much better comparison. They strike me as like almost exactly the same type of player. Even in their college careers, they were guys who kind of weren't maybe the key guy on their team. They weren't always the guy who was going to make everything happen, but did just a great, great job on their team, filling in their role, doing a bit of everything. You know, Horford has extended his range out to the three as that's become more of the in thing for NBA players to do. Very strong defender despite having a somewhat limited level of athleticism. You know, not a huge athlete, but I think just similar size, athleticism, awareness, skills. I think he just aligns very well. Now, so if you drafted Horford at 7, if you could get a young Al Horford at 7 and he was going to have that career path, wouldn't you be ecstatic? I mean, really. I know people are like, well, I want a top 5 player. Great. You know what? You don't get top 5 players every year in the draft to begin with, and they usually don't come at number 7. I mean, if you get one that's outstanding, you know, I'd love that to be true too. But if you get a guy who's like, say, a top 30 player who's a low-rung all-star type player like an Al Horford, that is an amazing find at number 7. It just is. It's a great find. And I think that is the type of player that Wendell Carter can be. He's like a combination of the best parts of Brook Lopez and Robin Lopez. You know, he really is going to give you, he's a two-way player. We talk so much about wanting two-way players on this team. Wendell Carter Jr. is a two-way player. And I think if you go back and you look at the different things the Bulls have tried to do, like we want to add length and athleticism, we want to add shooting, I think in this draft, what you saw is the Bulls wanted to add two-way players. And I think that's so key to what you're doing in the modern NBA is to get these guys who are two-way players. You can't have defensive players anymore who are just holes on offense because it just takes away too much from everyone else. It's too hard to run an offense in the modern NBA that way. Everyone has to be able to contribute. And so the Bulls, with Markkanen, with Carter Jr., I think these are just two guys in the front court that can fit into any system, with any teams, with any players, and be very, very strong, quality, good players. Both guys, to me, look, they can be that kind of like low-rung future all-star, top 30 type guys. That is a really good start. Now, you still need to figure out how to get a star player on your team, but if you do, I think you're in really, really good shape, and the Bulls are going to have cap room. I don't think it's so crazy to think that can happen. You still have some chance LaVine or Dunn could turn into that player. I think both unlikely, but you still have some chance that can happen. I really like what the Bulls did there. So now we'll drop down to 22. We're talking Chandler Hutchison. I didn't buy it. I didn't buy it. I didn't buy the promise. I said NBADraft.net is the only one who's come out with this. And it went out 2 months ago. Haven't heard anything since. But bam, there it was. Chandler Hutchison is on the Bulls. And so with Hutchison, if you didn't look into him a whole lot when the promise news came out, if you were like me and you're just kind of like, this probably isn't really going to happen. I'm not going to pay that close attention. So, you know, looking over the highlights again today, checking things out before the show, really, you know, an impressive athlete, good defender, again, a two-way player. Senior, really broke out his junior year at Boise State, so he's played very well the past two seasons. I think the Bulls have done a pretty good job of taking upperclassmen when they get later into the draft. And I think that is a point where it really makes sense. The guy is going to be pretty well refined already. He's got all the skills. We'll see how good his shooting translates to the NBA. A decent three-point shooter, though, 38% and 36% the past 2 years. So I think very solid three-point shooter and has okay volume of attempts, too. He's over 4 attempts a game last year. So decent amount of attempts. Really had to do a whole lot for his team to be successful. So one of those guys also not always taking the best shots. Very athletic, dunks in traffic all the time. You know, a guy who, you know, really to me seems very, very solid. When I look at this guy and I look at Mikal Bridges, like, yeah, I don't know that there's so much difference there. Similar age too. So I think he's going to be a pretty solid pro. I don't know how much upside he really has, but at 22, you're looking for a guy who can contribute. You're looking for a guy who can contribute. You're not assuming you're going to get a huge upside guy. You're just looking for a guy to contribute. I think Chandler Hutchinson can be a rotation player for the Bulls. I don't think he's going to be a bust. I think he's going to be a decent quality player for Chicago. And I think that's what you hope for if you're a Bulls fan and you're picking in the 20s. You hope to get a guy who can be an impact player and just kind of make your rotation, keep those cheap salaries rolling, allow you to spend money on other names. And maybe, you know, you roll him into a first rounder later if he's not someone who's developing a lot. You know, you hope to do that type of trade, which the Bulls historically have been very successful in. You look at, they traded James Johnson for a future first rounder. They traded Thabo Sefolosha for a future first rounder. They traded Nikola Mirotic for a future first rounder. So the Bulls have been able to take these guys that they get that become productive players and roll them into future first rounders and kind of keep that like low contract rookie deal going and getting productive guy after productive guy that can fill in and play a role in the rotation. And then that allows you to spend more on some of these other guys. It's one of the ways that they're sneaky good financially. And so I like this pick. I think he's another guy that can be in that mold of a guy who can come in, make an impact for you and do some positive things for the Chicago Bulls. We will now get to see what the Bulls do in free agency. I'm hoping they use all their money to bring in future assets. I think with this team, what you got to do is you're rolling with Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine. I'm sure they're going to re-sign him. Wendell Carter Jr., Lauri Markkanen, Robin Lopez. I think, you know, would be interesting to see what his role is with Carter Jr. playing. Probably be a starter initially, though. That's probably your big men there. But you got Bobby Portis up there, too. So a little bit of crowding in that front court. That we could see for a little bit of time, too, if they don't make some type of trade this offseason. But you got Bobby Portis as well, Denzel Valentine. So you got a lot of people there. And of course, Chandler Hutchinson. You got a lot of people there that you can develop, young guys. Cameron Payne, I think, showed a little bit at the end of the year. So I think you're going to have a very young rotation. If those guys win, then you take it. You're just like, all right, they won with this group. I think that's incredible. And you try and do your best. If those guys can't win, I think that's also okay. I mean, I think it's also okay. Then you're back in the lottery. You're adding another strong piece, another year of development for these guys. Maybe it's time to move on from Chris Dunn or Zach LaVine at this point. You see how Lowry's developing. You see if you want to keep Bobby Portis. So a lot of decisions will be made over this year depending on how these guys play out. So we'll see how all of that pans out. But I think at this point, you're not going to try to add an impact free agent. What you want to do is take on a Luol Deng with a Kyle Kuzma thrown in, or Luol Deng with a future first or two thrown in. Those are the type of trades you want to make. You want to take on a Ryan Anderson and then some picks from the Rockets so they can try and get LeBron. That's the type of move you want to make right now if you're the Chicago Bulls. And I don't know if they could have moved up by taking on Chandler Parsons, but I do think there's a pretty good chance that if LeBron hints that he's willing to go to Houston or LA or something, and there needs to be some space freed up salary-wise, I think there's a pretty good chance that the Bulls could get a really nice deal to help facilitate that. Because a team that has a chance to bring in LeBron is a team looking to win titles. I think you have a very good chance to bring in some pretty strong future assets, because teams will do a lot to bring in a player like LeBron James. And they may have to give up some pretty strong assets in the future to take this chance, hoping that they can win a title in the short run for it. And if they can, it's all worth it. So I think the Bulls will have some exciting opportunities this offseason. At least I hope that's what they can do. I am hoping that they try and aim for picks in 2021 and 2023. I don't want your 2019 pick. I don't want your 2020 pick. Give me your 2021 pick. 2021 is going to be a stacked draft class because the one-and-done rule is going away. So all of the one-and-done players from the 2020 high school class will be eligible, and all of the 2021 high school seniors will be eligible. So it's going to be a stacked draft class. Now, I think the Bulls want to try and trade into that class. And if you're going to take on LeBron James, that is the class you want to get because it's going to be much deeper. It's going to be much deeper because you're going to have like the cream of two classes in there. So even if you get firsts from Houston or LA and they end up being like 25, 26, there's going to be some players in that draft class at those spots because you're going to have an extra eight guys potentially coming from high school in there pushing all of that talent down. And it's only going to be that one year that happens. So to me, that 2021 draft class, that is the key. That is where you want to target if you're going to take on salaries. And that is why Philly's trade of Mikal Bridges for Smith and Miami's 2021 pick was a sneaky good trade. I know a lot of Philadelphia 76ers fans are a little upset about that trade right now. They thought Mikal Bridges would be perfect. First, Smith is quite a player too, and I think you may just end up getting a better player. But even if you don't, that trade was a sneaky good trade because you traded into 2021. Teams should be thinking about that right now. That is the place to hit. And so if you can get that 2021 pick, I think that's good. I'd even be aiming for 2021 second rounders potentially because that draft class could be very good. So that's what I'm doing if I'm the Chicago Bulls, trying to get assets, particularly aiming for that year. I don't think much of next year's draft class, so I'm not quite as excited about it. I'm clearly not scouting all the guys. This is just basically on what I've read, that next year's class might not be that strong. So if the Lakers need to dump Luol Deng, if the Rockets need to dump Ryan Anderson, hey, guys, let's talk. Let's get those 2021 picks flowing. I think we'll be in good shape. Anyway, that will wrap it up for this edition of the Bulls Beat. Hopefully, I will be able to be on the Big Red Bus a little bit later with Fred Pfeiffer, and we'll get to record that this weekend, and we'll have some new shows coming up. You can catch me on Twitter, Doug_Tonis. Always, you can download the podcast a variety of ways. You probably figured that out if you're listening to it. But I will catch you guys next week.